So I wake up on this beautiful Friday morning in full serendipity, being that today is Valentine's Day, and I think to myself, who could I feature on my podcast today? And instantly I think, Sway Molina, who else? Stay tuned. From all the people that I've connected on social media, and I've connected with quite a few people in South Florida and in Central Florida and throughout the world, you actually get it, bro. Like, you actually get it. Like, right. Straight up, bro. Like, so I was like, man, when I woke up this morning, I said, it would be really cool if I interviewed Sway Molina today on Valentine's Day, because the brother knows how to love not only himself, but others. And I really respect that a lot, man.
I really do. Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
All right, bro. This microphone's not really, it's not lit up, but I don't care. We're going to keep going with it. And it's a beautiful thing. So let's get rolling, man.
Let's roll with it.
All right, bro. Well, let's start going. It's actually episode 12, so.
Nice.
It's a good number. The number 12 is a good number.
I like it.
All right, man. Well, welcome to the Abel Llerena Audio Experience episode 12. And Sway, bro, like I mentioned to you briefly, I'm excited to feature you on this episode because of the day, the significance of being on Valentine's Day. Let's talk about your journey and the current state of whatever you're passionate about right now. I know you're a passionate dude about a lot of different things, but what does that look like for Sway?
Well, first of all, it's about time. You know, it's about time, man. I've been waiting for this call. I've been waiting for you to reach out to me for us to make this happen. I remember when we met at the rooftop of my old office, which I'm not there anymore. And I don't know if you remember. I'm pretty sure you do. We were talking about this. We were talking about ideas. You know, we're talking about growing as entrepreneurs, as creators, and getting on it. You know, because this whole social media thing, it moves fast, and we're not there. We're not 15 anymore. So we're talking about how can we get on this quick, and here we are, man. And thank you for having me.
No, man, I'll tell you, it's awesome, man. It's I'm really touched, like I said, because of the significance of the day. Initially, when I started my creative juices, Las Crónicas of the Green Chair web series, I've talked about that. It was something that I'm super passionate about. But to this day, not one person has had the privilege to get on the green chair. And I realize that this green chair is becoming something very exclusive, actually.
Right.
And a lot of people could say, oh, you know, it's just, you know, it's a chair in your driveway. But let me tell you, man, Hit Me Up Studios is very up, alive and coming. And not everybody's going to be able to get on that green chair because Hit Me Up Studios faces east. That's my driveway at my home. So I only have a small window to record and produce content during that time frame. So not everybody could show up at 7 in the morning to my house to film. So it's actually become a thing. And so I've realized that, hey, maybe I'm early on Las Crónicas of the Green Chair web series. But the podcast, when I started with the Abel Llerena Audio Experience, I really started connecting with a lot of people. And it was cool to be able to just highlight their journeys and everything that they got going on, their passion, which is what I cover on social media, is passion and culture. And I've stuck to that lane, not so much in South Florida anymore, because I learned a lot. I learned a lot in the process over the last 2 years. I don't live in South Florida. I'm from Hialeah originally, and I've said that before, but I haven't been there in 19 years, going on 20 years. So a lot of things have changed when it comes to culture in Miami. Regarding your passion specifically, how does that look like with the culture in Miami and with what you're doing right now? Because I know that you do a lot of different things.
I do a lot of things. Well, let me go back to your first question. Yeah, today is a special day, and thank you for having me in this podcast on Valentine's Day, and it does mean a lot. And I think it all goes down to what you're saying. It's making it less about you and making it more about the people. The more if you make it about connecting, like you said, of connecting with other people, learning from other people, sharing other people's stories. I mean, that just drives you, doesn't it? It just drives you to keep on growing as a person, as an individual, and just to be part of something, a part of the community, part of the culture, wherever it is that you are. And for me, and living here in Miami, you know, I love the city. I was raised in Miami, born in LA, but I came here when I was 5. And this place has a special, you know, place in my heart. And I literally live in the heart of Miami, 5 minutes from Little Havana, 5 minutes from downtown. I'm central from everything. And it's a blessing to be here, man. Honestly, I love the people. I love the culture. And, you know, you get that crowd that do complain a lot about the city. And you know, they share those articles that Miami Herald, you know, tends to put out New Times and, you know, Miami being the most horrible city in the world. And I don't see it like that, man, because at the end of the day, it's all about perspective. This city has given me a lot and I've met a lot of wonderful people here. So it's all a matter of who you're rubbing shoulders with. And what am I doing as far as the community here? Honestly, to be really honest, for the past 2 years, I've been a little bit disconnected. Every now and then I get out of my little bubble. And, you know, I do improv, I perform live, I invite people, and I get more or less a feel what's happening in the culture today. Definitely, there's a lot of things going on. There's a lot of arts, there's a lot of theater, there's, you know, the rise of comedy, it's all coming back, and you can feel it. And it's just not one central place, or at least where I perform in, right now I've been performing in North Miami Beach. And that's unheard of 5-10 years ago, performing theater in North Miami Beach, what, comedy? And the same thing is happening in Wynwood, same thing is happening in Kendall and in Gables. And you have all these subgroups and subcultures happening. And that's what makes the city great. And I do that for a bit and then I crawl back into my hall. And I did mention that I don't have my office anymore. So the reason is because I've been dedicating most of my time to parenthood. I've been a stay at home entrepreneur dad, you know, working on my computer, making my videos, and on the side, changing diapers, feeding my baby. And I have 3 kids, 3 wonderful kids. They drive me crazy, but I love them to death. And they've been, you know, my soul, my motivation to everything. And the older that we get, perspective changes. So people say, you know, there's a lot of shady people in Miami. You can't work with people in Miami. Lack of commitment, too egotistical, too prideful. And maybe that's true for the young crowd. But when you start dealing with people that are over 30, 35, and they're serious about their craft, you get to see that there is something different about the crowd here when they're serious and when they're mature. And I think I finally got into that crowd and I don't feel I'm behind. I feel that, you know, this is a great time to be alive, man, to be an artist.
Yeah, man. It's I've been amazed by a lot of the things that are happening down there in Miami. You know, before I moved up here to Central Florida, I was actually living on Biscayne and 62nd Street in Banyan Bay Apartments, which is really close to Miami Motel Stories. And I'll tell you, I'm drawn to Miami Motel Stories and a lot of the arts that are really taking place down there as well. You know, talk to us a little bit about the arts in Miami and South Florida, about what's going down. Because I know there's a lot of improv and there's a lot of training and education that's taking place for people that are wanting to get into the arts. What are some of the opportunities for people to plug in with in Miami?
Well, to get a little bit of context, just to tell people what it is that I do. I'm an actor and I'm a filmmaker, and that's how I make my living. And by living, you know, it's we're pushing and we're struggling or striving to make a living in the arts. And luckily for me, I've been very fortunate to form part of a very small and growing community called Speakeasy Theater. And this is with Jeff Quintana, and he's an acting improvising coach who's been dedicating a lot of his time inside the arts and growing the arts. And like I said, I've been a little bit disconnected. I can't give you a full perspective of what's really going on here. I can only give you like a bite size of what's been happening in Miami, and there's so many things, you really can't be everywhere. But as far as what I know, what I've done, and with the theater, is that we've been training individuals and in the art of improvisational comedy, and that in itself has evolved. So the school is not only teaching people how to improvise, they're teaching how to be confident. They're teaching them how to freestyle, hip hop freestyle, teaching them how to do stand-up comedy. They're hosting events, doing open mics. And that just goes to show you that when you dedicate yourself to something and you really believe in yourself and you work hard to grow a community, because growing a community, being part of a community in Miami is not easy. You know, like anything, you have to put in a lot of work. You have to invest a lot of your time, and you can't do it alone. You have to do it with a really dedicated group of people. And with that small group that we've had in the theater, we've seen a lot of growth. We've been able to connect with people from all parts of the city, and, you know, host a bunch of things. Right now, the theater actually has partnered up with Miami Motel Stories, and they're doing an event a block away from where the theater is. So last year, I believe they did their event at Wynwood. This year, they're doing it at North Miami Beach. Again, a block away from our Black Box Theater. So that's impressive, you know, so how everything just all comes together and connects.
Man, that's great, man. I remember talking to Jeff Quintana. It's been a while, mm-hmm. and but I've always been naturally drawn to what he's got going on down there, you know, with Speakeasy Theater Company. As soon as I could financially and time-wise get down to Miami, that's my priority. It really is, man, because I've been drawn to it naturally. I believe that it's got a great motivation behind it, and I want to support it. I want to go check it out. I want to learn, and I'm just naturally drawn to Jeff Quintana and the team over there with Speakeasy Theater Company. And something I've been wanting to do, man.
Yeah, sure. Definitely. We'll love to see you there. Take a class, you know, and join us in one of the live shows. And most of the shows are free now. There we accept donations, and we're hoping that this grows even to something big, and we're open to whatever it becomes. Because Miami again is not Los Angeles, it's not New York, it's not Chicago, it's its own thing. And sometimes you can't force it. You just got to let it be. So we have the talent and we have the people. So we're just, you know, we show up. We show up every day, you know, put on our shows, and the shows can be, you know, serious comedy, drama, weird stuff, random. It's a little bit of everything. And that's what I love about it. It's just open. It's open to any topic, to anything, really. So it's a really safe place to be in, and I think that's very important, because there's a lot of places in Miami that's not safe.
that's for sure, man. That's for sure. You know, which is it reminds me that's how we met, man. We met because you did some work for Jeff Quintana, and it was like an infomercial type of you know, production, just putting awareness out there of what was happening with Speakeasy Theater Company. And that's how I learned about you. And that's how I connected with you, was after watching that production that you did. And then I was like, what's going down there. And we connected. And I remember I was going to Miami on my first trip, as I was trying to network with everybody that I had connected with on social media face to face. And you were just one of the fillers, to be honest with you. It was one of the fillers of my time. And it ended up being, after 2 years, the person, the key person that I needed to connect with was actually you versus everybody else. That blows my mind. That blows my mind.
I'm excited to hear that. I love meeting people. And let me tell you, Asbel, you have an amazing energy. I love your energy. And I like your ambition, man. I see great things happening for you, you know, and going back to that story, it's with Speakeasy Theater, you know, we were just paying our dues. We when we first started the theater, you know, Jeff started it. He was doing his thing. Then later on, I joined in, and we were doing stuff at homes. You know, we were renting out spaces from other theaters and doing shows inside kava bars and coffee bars and the out in the open. And now, you know, we've reached that level where we have our own place. We did some funding and people have supported it. And here we are, man. It's been all because of the people like you that shown express interest. And I just hope it keeps being that way, man.
Yeah, man. I mean, what's happening in Miami and even in Central Florida, lots of things are changing up here. As far as culture, that was one of my key motivating factors, was to highlight the changes, the cultural changes that were happening in Central Florida that I was seeing. And I would talk to people and they were like, what are you talking about? They would look at me like I had three eyes. And I'm like, no, like, seriously, man, like, I see a lot of Miami culture, like that South Florida vibe coming into Central Florida, and things are changing. Like, there's Wynwood in Miami. Up here, we have West Art District, which is like two blocks away from the Orlando City Soccer Stadium. So it's like two or three square blocks, but all the buildings are graffitied out. Artists are coming in, but they have it fenced in. It's not open to the public. But I'm starting to see those changes up here. And that was one of my motivating factors, was like, okay, let me put out some educational value and see how I could do this thing. And in the process, we connected. And it was through that production that you did for Speakeasy Theater Company. Talk to us about the filmmaking. I know that you're an actor, you're a producer, you're a filmmaker. How could people connect with you to do work? Because I know we talked about the word collaboration, and it has a it has a very interesting meaning.
It could be a dangerous.
Could be a dangerous word. We've talked about this before, but
yeah.
Talk to us about how people can actually connect with you and work together and do projects together. What's your time frame? What's your passion? Where are you heading with this?
Where am I heading with this? Isn't that like the everyone's question? Where am I going with this? Yeah. Who am I? Where am I? How am I? You know, it's a big question.
It is.
And I've witnessed myself evolved, and that question has evolved. And first I went to film school. I always wanted to be an actor, but you know, that insecurity, I can't be an artist. It's not going to pay. You know, you hear grandma's mom's voice in the back of your head. Don't do it. Don't do it. Be a pharmacist. Have a steady paying job. And man, school didn't cut it for me, man. I tried college. I tried, you know, accounting. I tried biochemistry. I tried so many things and failed because, you know, to be honest, I was a C student, and I was just fooling myself. I was not listening to what my heart was saying. My heart was saying, do something in the creative field. So at the age of 25, I finally decided, you know what, let me try this film thing, which is the closest thing to acting. Because still, when I wanted to be an actor, but I still had that fear, you know, it was like that desire. You want to do it, but you're scared to do it. But I'm going to do something that's kind of like it. So that's what film was for me. So I got into film school, did the 4-year program. Everything just clicked. Editing, shooting, production, everything was just like, it was part of me. It just came to me very easy. It was just art. And after I learned how to do that, I started to work for a couple of production companies. I did some post work, some editing jobs, and I did some second camera work here and there, shooting some weddings, some real estate, and doing some short films. And then I started, you know, growing out of that and started self-producing my own sketches and films. And I started liking that even more. And I saw it as an opportunity, you know, let me throw myself in front of the camera. And I started doing that. And started breaking and conquering that fear. And before you know it, I grew really hungry more for it. And through help from some friends and connections, I was able to get, you know, some agents. And through agents, I started growing from there. Headshots. And now I'm auditioning every week. You know, here in Miami, we have a very big commercial market. Commercial and Hispanic market. So that's most of the things that I get here. You know, unfortunately, due to the incentives and the tax breaks. We don't get a lot of films and TV shows here, so we miss out on a lot of those opportunities. We've had a lot of great actors move out to Atlanta and LA, unfortunately, because of that. And but does not mean you can't create, you know, your own thing, which is why more than anything, I really, all those on social media, I label myself as an actor and filmmaker and all those things. I just consider myself an independent artist because, you know, one day I'm shooting, the other day I'm an actor, and the other day I'm just a dad or an artist or a writer.
Right.
So, and I just love that, the ability to mutate and just become my own thing and just be in control, have that creative control. And honestly, that's what I desire the most, to be able to produce my own projects. If one day I decide to write a project and direct it, well, let me do it. If another day I decide, you know what, I want to create a project where I can act on it and just surrender it and give it to someone else, well, let me do that too. Right now in my mind is just what I've been exploring so many different fields. Honestly, I've been occupying myself with a lot of, there's something called virtual production, and virtual production is just a whole new level in film, in the film industry. And this is basically, it goes beyond VFX. It is part of VFX, but it goes beyond green screen. It's using game engines and virtual cameras and 3D space and stuff like that. And I've been very into that, trying to see how I can get into animation and voice work, voiceover work. So yeah, man, it's just, my mind right now is a little bit of everywhere with my time constrictions and limitations. I try to be in a constant state of growth, you know, because, you know, you don't book every audition that you go to. So you have to be honest, you know, every deal, every proposal that you send out to a client doesn't get approved. And you have to fill in those gaps. Okay, if that doesn't go through, what I'm going to do? Well, I'm going to write. Well, if I have writer's block in this season, well, let me, you know, shoot in the other and just be constantly busy, constantly growing. There's no excuse, you know. And when none of that is working for me, I just, you know, sit behind a drum set and just make some beats and just, you know, go back to my bubble, man. Go back to my bubble. And that's what it is for me, you know, creative control, honestly. Independency.
That's it, man. I recently connected with a filmmaker. His name is Brian Ferraro, and
okay,
he's done some really cool projects, man. And we got to talk, and the next thing you know, we're like, oh yeah, we're gonna do this. And you know, he's gone to school. Like, he went to school in Penn State for film and architecture. Nice. And all these things. And I've done no formal training. I'm ready to go, you know, type of person. And so he starts giving me all these insights, and I've been wanting mm-hmm. to do a film to highlight the issues within the public school system.
Right.
So that's been something I've been wanting to do, but really the motivation out of that was frustration and anger in a lot of different ways. Mm. And so I haven't wanted to press into that because of that motivation's been twisted. So in the process, I was like, let me go ahead and look into this other angle. And there's a lot of homelessness up in Central Florida, a lot. It's an issue. Mm-hmm. And recently, just this week, I went to this motel in the area. And bro, this place looks like a war zone.
Wow.
I put some stories out there on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm here to tell you, man, it's scary. I've been to some pretty rough places in my life. And this place here was rough. They have their own laws in there, man. They have their own security. It's hard to befriend the people that are living there. And
right.
And then I started looking into all these angles of actually doing a couple of interviews. And I'm like, you know, after talking to Brian, he's like, man, you got to get like disclaimers, and you got to, you know, you got to have them signed by these people. And I'm like, are you serious? Like, you know, should I do that with every person that I interview on the podcast as well? He's like, yeah, you should. I'm like, wow. And I'm like, okay, you know, like, you start looking at a bigger picture.
Oh, for sure.
If you will. And after really having all his experience and equipment and everything ready to film, I told him, hey, let's hold off on this thing, because you've given me so much insight in a couple of hours just talking to you before I did this film, that mm-hmm. I know that I need to prepare and I need to organize even more before we start shooting anything.
Right.
And it's going to take relationship with these people. These people are super angry. They've been through it. And it's going to take time for me to go by and visit and talk to these people and feed them and hang out with them. I went there. It was Monday morning. And within 10 minutes of me being there, I stirred up the hornet's nest so much that the police showed up.
Oh, wow.
I mean, the place is bad, bro. And it's what's interesting, it's 10 minutes away from the happiest place on earth, Walt Disney. It's crazy. To see what was going down there, I mean, I'm telling you, I've never seen stuff like that in Miami. I've never seen stuff like that in Orlando. And that's locally in Kissimmee and Osceola County. And it blew my mind. It just blew my mind. I'm like, man, but I really want to learn. I'm studying. I'm researching. I'm Googling. I'm talking to people.
Well, you're putting in the work. And I think that that answers the question that I didn't answer, which is collaboration. Collaboration is that willingness to put in the work. I mean, collaboration now to people means, can you do something for me? Without giving something back in return,
true.
Or without showing a remote any interest,
right.
Or a willingness to learn the craft, man, if it's a documentary that you want to do, if it's a really big production that you want to do, you know, good things take time. It takes time, and it's not going to happen overnight.
No, I thought we were going to get out there, put up a drone and start taking some angles and some shots and such.
No.
Right off the bat, I'm thinking, no, man, we can't even come in here with equipment because we're going to get jacked.
Yeah.
Like, straight up. Like, I'm going to have to go in here and I'm going to have to talk to these people, drink coffee, talk to law enforcement. It's going to get ugly. It's going to get ugly. But in order to cover that story, I'm going to have to put in a lot of work. So a lot of work goes into production and film and all these things, man, that a lot of people don't realize, man.
And this is a hot topic. It's a hot topic. It's a national crisis. I just saw a video. It's really bad in L.A., everyone knows. And it's bad in New York. We have the mental – there's no mental – what's it called? The mental facilities, health facilities, they're not available to people with in need of mental health, and or it's going to the wrong people, and a lot of funds are going to people with, you know, little anxieties that could be recovered by just going out and exercise, go get some sun. You know, the funds are not being directed to the right people who are in need.
Yeah, I've definitely seen that, man, and I'm gonna do my part, you know, and I have definitely a soft spot for mental health. Depression, PTSD, I understand it thoroughly, and it's something that's very real, and it's detrimental, man, to our society, our community.
For sure.
We're talking about film production and what's going down. I know there's a lot of different things happening. I had the pleasure of interviewing David Sipkin from Rock and Tour.
Nice.
And that was really cool to be able to talk to him. And I've gone over that episode. I think every single person that's heard it has been only me, because I've seen that episode over and over and over, and I've learned so much from it.
That's great.
But
what those guys are doing is great.
That's what I learned from David was, you know, these guys were just doing it. Like, they had gone to school and done formal training and such, but it took for them to take action and actually to head up to Gainesville and do their first film.
Right. You know, that's the one with the rape, right?
Yeah. And I'll tell you, their story is fascinating. I've always been fascinated by their story.
With like three guys, right?
Yeah. Billy Corbin and Alfred Spellman and David Sipkin, they mm-hmm. got together and they said, we're going to pile some money together and we're going to talk to whoever we need to talk to. And they took a cameraman with them and they piled up some money and they bought a couple of cameras and they headed over to Gainesville and they started filming, doing their thing. And they came back and they had a docufilm put together and it was a hit. It was a hit. And that's how they started, you know, to the point where, you know, I've heard it before. I don't know exactly how the logistics happened, but they disrupted Hollywood, man. Three guys, you know. So that to me is fascinating. That could be done, and in today's market, it could be done even easier. But I'll tell you what I learned from interviews and things that I've done is distribution. Distribution is a thing. It's a huge thing, not only in business, but in film and anything that you do, because I could interview, you know, anybody. You could have a golden interview, you know, in your hand, if you will. And then if you don't distribute that content at scale, nobody's going to know that it's there.
For sure.
So really, distribution is something that I've been focusing on for me to become an expert at that craft, because I love to put dots together. I love to connect people. I love relationship. Like on Instagram today, you know, it's therapeutic to me to unfollow people that are self-centered and self-absorbed on Valentine's Day, because I don't care how many followers you got, bro. You know what I'm saying? If you're not working relationship, I don't need you to be connected to be inflating your numbers.
Exactly.
So, you know, if there's no connection, if there's no synergy, I'm cutting you. That's just the way it goes. You know, not everybody gets to ride on the green chair or the car, as I say. Not everybody's going to take a ride with me, you know, and that's okay. But I've learned, man, I've learned a lot. I've learned a lot in the process about myself, about other people, and what's going down, man, with social media. It's really taught me a lot in the last 2 years, man. How would you say that social media has helped you with your passion of filmmaking and production? Because that's your bread and butter. That's your thing.
Social media is just a medium, man, just to share your voice. You know, it's a place where you can be who you are and not be ashamed of it, you know. And sadly, in the beginning, like, you know, like everyone, I would say, you know, you first start off trying to be someone not authentic. Right. You try to grow your platform as someone that you wish to be, as opposed to the person you already are.
Right.
And through time and maturity, like I said, in the beginning, you start to realize, you know, like what you're doing, you know, like, I don't need to follow this guy. Don't care how many followers he has. Don't care what he says. Don't care if he gives me a shout out or whatever, you know, I'm going to do me, I'm going to post pictures of whatever I want, you know, and that's what I love. You know, I love about social media is just how each platform you can share your voice in different styles, you know? So to me, when I share content on Instagram, it's not the same way I share it on LinkedIn, but doesn't mean that I'm two different people. I'm still me, right. You know, you're just catering to the language, right? Right. You're catering to the audience. And it's social media is an opportunity. Each platform is a distribution, you know, platform. So we don't need to wait for a producer or investor to come by and be like, hey, here's $1 million for you to, you know, distribute this. No, you can create content and just put it out tomorrow if you wanted to. And of course, views and or likes and follows are not guaranteed, but just the idea that you're in control again, that you have that independency and that creative control to make something without permission, put something out there without permission, promote it or delete it without permission. That's a powerful thing.
It is, man. It is. That's one of the things, man, that, you know, that I've picked up on is when you go ahead and you start doing content, like, you know, there was stuff that I was doing a year ago that I'm not doing today. Mm-hmm. You know, and really what I've done the last 2 years is a big science project for me, because I've been learning, I've been studying the behavior on how people respond to the content, how they interact, the views, how people comment to those posts, why the motives, why they're doing that. And you start studying all that stuff and you really you use that, but it's the connections at the end, bro, that remains for me is the true authentic relationships, dude. That means everything to me. It means the world to me. And I know for you, I mean, as I was thinking about this morning when I woke up, as I mentioned, I'm like, man, it would be really cool on Valentine's Day to interview Sway Molina, because he's the guy. He, like, if I was to think, I mean, I've interviewed people and I love every single person that I've interviewed. But from everybody, that truly gets it, that synergistically is there with me, I believe it's you.
Ah, thank you, man.
I truly thank believe you. That. I know that you're doing on IG. You're also your workouts. That became a thing.
Yeah,
that became a thing.
It's becoming a thing.
That you started doing, and every once in a while, you know, it's easy to get lost in the sauce of social.
For sure, and
you know, and every once in a while, I see it on my feed, and you're there doing some type of work. And I'm like, instantly, my nature is like, okay, man, I'm gonna start doing this. I'm gonna start doing that. But
I'm gonna get out of this green couch, and
I'm gonna get out of this chair, bro. I'm gonna get out of this green chair, and I'm gonna start doing something. And physically, it's been tough lately, because of things that I've been dealing with personally, physically. But you know, that motivation is there. That message is being sent. And it's right. being received, at least by me. And I see that. And like you said, sometimes you unwind and you start playing a cajon, or you start playing a drum, or you start doing something.
Yeah.
And that's really cool, man. I really appreciate those things, because every time see your content, every time, there's never been a time that I've seen a piece of your content that I'm like, it pisses me off. Or it puts me in a negative place.
Well, it shouldn't. If it's doing that to you, I'm gonna stop.
No, bro. It's never done that. It's always put a smile on my face, no matter how bitter, how whatever's going on. If I'm salty, nothing, bro. It always puts a smile on my face, man. It really does.
Well, you know what? The quote that really drives me is, you know, take your work seriously, but don't take yourself seriously. And for the past, you know, past years, there was a time when I was just taking myself very seriously. I was taking those labels, you know, that you put yourself on the Insta bio very serious. Yeah. And I was like, and when you take yourself serious, you limit yourself, you know, and you don't live life. Obviously, the answer is not, you know, everyone needs to be on social media and everyone needs to expose themselves. Like, no, if it's not for you, it's not for you. If it's for you, then enjoy it. Whatever you do, you have to find the happiness. You know, you have to enjoy the process. And honestly, my biggest motivation in sharing those videos, the work, let it be the workout videos or me just, you know, banging on the box or whatever, drumming. My biggest motivation is the when people respond to it. And I've had dudes just like, hey, man, what you're doing really motivates me. I want to work out. Other dudes are like, hey, I worked out because of you. I was like, what? I'm nobody, man. I was like, what are you talking about? I was like, keep doing what you're doing. And mind you, I'm not ripped. I don't have a six pack. I'm not swole. I'm like a very, you know, lean dude, just, you know, doing his thing. I show up, pick up some heavy stuff and just do my thing, you know. And that's been really my drive. It's like, you know, this is what it is all about. It's not about that I want to be sponsored by a protein shake or anything like that. I don't want any of that. I don't want any of that. I just want to show like, hey, you know what? This is a guy. He's reaching his mid-30s and he's, you know, he's over here jumping like a 20-year-old. You can do it too.
Right.
That's it. You know, and my biggest and my the theme behind everything, and I wrote a post about it on my blog, is the reason why I do it is because I want to survive, man.
Yeah.
I want to live longer. I want to pick up my kids. I right now I have a 6-year-old. I have a 3-year-old and I have a 1-year-old. My 6-year-old is getting big. She's getting big and she's getting heavy.
Yeah.
And like, you know what? Time is flying. I can't carry this girl. I need to pick up some weight so I can carry her at least for 2 more years.
True.
Because it's going to be a point where you won't be able to anymore, man. Like they say, you know, long days, short years. And let me tell you, those years fly by. And I want to be in the best shape possible for my wife, for my kids, and most importantly, for myself. You know, I want to be happy with myself. And as soon as you start doing some type of physical activity, you know, when those endorphins kick in and you feel proud of yourself because you reach a specific small, not huge goal, small goal, and you know, and you start feeling this positivity, you know, and like, wow, man, you start to see your life in a better light, you know, and that's really my motivation, man.
Yeah, it's that perspective that you mentioned, man. It's all about that perspective. But I know that when you work out, it's everything. But yeah, I what I love about your workouts is that they're grungy. They're like Rocky Balboa type exercises.
Yeah. So for the people that don't know, I don't work out in a gym.
Right.
Like honestly, I hate gyms. Until someone can prove me wrong, I really just don't like going to the gyms. I feel like when you go there, you're trying to show off or you're insecure since you don't know what you're doing in the beginning and you feel like a failure. And I don't want none of that negativity, you know. Like I have a couple of rusty plates and dumbbells and cinder blocks and sandbags. And you know what? I'm going to figure this out. And that's what my workouts are all about, figuring it out. Can I lift this up? You know, can I make my back stronger? Can I make my quads stronger? Can I work on my abs a little bit, you know, and sizzle them if I can, you know? But it's really about just getting stronger and having no excuse. All I have to do is just walk to my backyard, rain or sunshine. Can I get something done within the next 30 to 60 minutes?
Yeah, there's a lot that could be done. But I really enjoy that about that is that really, you get a couple of cinder blocks and you get some sandbags and you got to start getting creative. You're still using that creativity, but now you're enhancing that physical state. And I really enjoy that, you know, versus going to a gym that's prescribed with machines and everything. And it all depends on what you're looking for, of course. But,
right, of course, of course.
But for me, you know, I really enjoy that. I like the grunginess and the whole, you know, backyard thing. That's a thing for me, so I really enjoy seeing that, and eventually I'm gonna get back in there physically. It's been a challenge for me, but no, man, I'm very encouraged by that as well. People how do they find you? What's your handles? I know that you're on Twitter, you're on Facebook, you're on Instagram. How do they find you?
I am everywhere, and I just started doing stuff on TikTok and Byte. Have you heard of Byte? The Byte app?
I have not.
Oh man, you are behind. You're behind. So
talk to
so
me.
The Byte app is very, very similar to TikTok, but more similar to Vine. And the reason why Vine is because one of the original founders of Vine launched his own app called Byte. First week got 1 million views, and people are creating now 6-second content like crazy. I try to post one video a day at least. Something relevant, you know, thematic or whatever comes to mind. And you know what? I've been getting some traction there and just meeting strangers, doing funny stuff. So I love comedy. And it all comes full circle because I try to recycle my content. Now I get to upload that video to TikTok and upload that video to Facebook. And like, you know, another reason to keep on creating and having fun. So everywhere you can find me as Sway Molina. So Sway Molina. Yes, my name is Sway. It's my real name is Josue, but since people have trouble pronouncing my name and it's a horrible conversation starter when I go to castings, I've taken on the stage name Sway for a while, and it's helped, and it's I love it.
No, it's a cool name. I mean, Sway, Sway, swag, you know, it's one of those. But no, I love the name. I almost asked you about that earlier, but I'm glad you explained that. Sway Molina, it's a really cool name, bro. No, it's awesome. With your film production and stuff that you're doing, are you doing any projects right now that you're working on?
Well, right now, what I've been collaborating with Speakeasy. We've been releasing sketch comedy videos. I sometimes appear in them, or other times I'm behind the camera shooting, and I edit all those videos. I've been doing my own self-content as well, like, again, TikTok and stuff. Soon I'll be creating more long, you know, 1-5 minute sketches. And it's just a matter of time, man, trying to find that time. And on the side, I've been writing my own web series, and that's been keeping me busy and late at night. So always staying busy, man. Always up to something.
Yeah, I've actually started doing that this week because of the input that I got from Brian Ferraro. Mm-hmm. He's like, man, you really got to organize everything that you got going on right now. And I took his advice to heart, and I started writing. I started writing, you know, something to organize my thoughts with this film that I want to do up here, highlighting the homelessness. You know, I started off with the issues with school, and now I'm like, wait a minute, let me just focus on homelessness here because there's a bigger problem that, you know, the school system is not helping, and maybe I'll bring everything together. But yeah, I've started writing, and it's very therapeutic as well.
Of course. Yeah, yeah, man, you got to release all that energy, man.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Don't bottle it.
Yeah, no. If you bottle it, forget it.
Yeah. And then that's why no one wants to be interviewed by you, man.
Nobody's going to want to talk to me, man. You know, it's like, it's crazy. But no, it's awesome, man. It's awesome. But Sway, man, you know, when it comes to value, talk to some of the people out there that are shackled in fear from actually going out to a place like Speakeasy Theater Company and just going to check it out. Just going to check it out to see what's going down, to see how maybe I could be a part of this thing. Talk mm-hmm. to that person that's on the sidelines, bro, that hasn't gone and they should have gone.
Well, I always like to say to my friends, don't let fear control you. And that's a motto for me, at least, you know, amongst my friends, circle of friends, is don't let fear control you. There's nothing to be scared of. And everyone, you know, deals and wrangles with fear. So it's not like the guy that's performing up on stage, he's fearless. No, he's scared shitless, you know, like up on stage.
Right.
He's shaking. I'm nervous. I want to puke. I want, you know, but obviously the reason why I'm up there, because it comes from a place of passion. I want to perform. I want to act. I want to, you know, I want to play with people on stage. So definitely it's not for the faint. But if you're someone that wants to be doing this, a podcast, if you're someone that wants to be doing videos, sketches, or whatever type of thing, if you want to expose yourself and put your voice and your face out there, definitely doing something like improv that's a school, man. That's therapeutic. You have to do it because, you know, if you have the ability of putting yourself out there in public like that, shamelessly, and you see, with improv is an art, you know, you have to rely, you're relying on your body and you're relying on your senses and your intuition, your gut. And if you're able to train yourself to do that, you can do a lot of things, man. You can do a lot of things. Video becomes easy. You know, doing a podcast becomes easy. Being interviewed becomes easy because you start to trust yourself. You don't you don't second guess yourself. You don't overthink things. And that's the problem with today in society. You tend to overthink things. You want to, but you don't. And yeah, man, improv helps.
Yeah, bro. I'm really, like I said, I'm really amazed, and I'm telling you, and I need to.
And you don't have. I'm sorry, you don't have to come all the way to Miami to do it. I mean, I'm pretty sure there's a community, there's an improv community, a very small one, and wherever you live, whatever town that you're in, go and support them.
Yeah,
you know, go.
Yeah, I've actually connected with a theater company up here, but again, there was no synergy. So I'm in a place right now where if there's no synergy, I'm out. I don't have time for it, bro. So,
you know, like anything, you know, improv, acting, theater, they're all communities. They all come with the good and the bad. Yeah. And, you know, and I just find that very unfortunate because I do hear that a lot here. There's some people that have had bad experiences in specific places.
Sure.
And it's a shame. It's a shame, you know, but not everyone is bad.
No. You
know, there are some good people out there.
For sure. Yeah, but there's something, man. There's something special about that one down there, man. As soon as I go to Miami, man, I'm telling you, that's my priority. That's high on everything I want to do, bro. Because I've seen what's happening over there for quite some time, and no matter what, my heart's still in South Florida. You know, being from South Florida, it's a different vibe. The vibe is completely different down there as it is up here in Central Florida. But you know, yeah. But you're right. you know, I should look into some of these communities up here and see, okay, how can I connect and see where that goes and check it out.
Well, yeah, because sometimes it could be the case where, and I'm just making an assumption, it could be a case of cultural differences, you know.
Yeah.
You know, your body's over there, but your heart is here.
Right.
You know, there's an umbilical cord.
Yeah.
You know, connected to Miami.
It's hard, bro. It's the patelito and the croquetas.
The patelito and the croquetas, but that's an opportunity for you. You can fill in that gap over there. Bring in the cafecito. Bring the
croquetas. That's it, bro. That's it. Yeah.
Bring
man.
The culture. Bring the culture, man.
That's my goal, and that's what I'm trying to learn how to do, is how to connect the two cultures together.
Right.
How do I do that? That's a big question, man. Because I've been asking myself that question for 2 years. And you know, I'm learning, but it's such a different culture, it's a different thing. And with social media, you could connect and you could hit likes every time you see something on a feed and you could follow and unfollow and whatever, but you know, that's a waste of time. So I look at I'm drawn naturally to somebody's passion. When I see it highlighted on their feed, on their stories. So then I'll check the person out and what they're doing. And it's a vibe thing, man. And, you know, I've learned that, you know, I'm not going to connect with everybody. That's fine.
Right.
But when I do, I pursue those relationships. And then with time, if you're patient, you start learning, okay, this is my synergy right here. This is my vibe. This is my flow. And this is who I'm going to start connecting with. And you start narrowing it down. And then you start taking action.
And well, you have to do that. And it applies to everyone in every single city that they're in. I mean, you have to be working with people that you can vibe with. And that relationship has to be healthy. So to connect the cultures or to start a culture, it all starts with the people, right?
Yeah.
It all starts with the artists. You have to bring the artists together. You have to bring the entrepreneurs together. You have to bring the creatives and the coders and the painters, and you have to bring those people together. And they have to mingle for a while until we figure it out. Like, okay, this is how we think.
Yeah.
Everyone is sparse. Everyone is everywhere. And they're doing their own thing.
Yeah, which is something that I'm actually organizing right now as we speak. It's interesting you mentioned that. What I'm trying to do, you know, that I'm very passionate about cannabis and the cannabis mm-hmm. space. And I'm a publisher as well for a magazine out of Denver, Colorado. And I'm building that market in Orlando right now. Mm-hmm. And what I'm trying to do is I've seen that there's a huge, huge gap in education. So what I'm organizing is different people, DJs, canna chefs, doctors, nurses, to actually go to events and start creating events where we could educate. It's an educational opportunity for people, but at the same time, they can have food that's infused with CBD.
Right.
You know, it's perfectly legal. It's underneath the legal limit, so you don't have to be a medicinal marijuana patient and such. So it just so people could start exploring and learning more about this amazing plant and what's going down. So I'm organizing that right now as we speak and talking to people and artists. And so there's a bunch of interviews, man. There's a bunch of interviews that I have set up, and I'm trying to get those interviews together to put those people on the pedestal and get them out there so that they could be known by people and at the same time, start working together to educate, man, because education is a big gap, especially when it comes to cannabis.
Right. I mean, it looks like you're on the right path. It's just all a matter of patience. You know, keep showing up, keep doing the work, and soon you'll have all those dots connected.
Yeah. Yeah. Man. Patience is really, it's the ultimate strength. You got to be patient.
And I mean, you and I were big fans of Gary Vee, right? This is I'm surprised we haven't mentioned it, but this is the reason why we connected.
There's a good reason, but really the true reason we connected wasn't even Gary Vee. Yeah, we have that same, you know, umbilical cord of Gary. And what I'm doing right now is really Gary Vee's thesis and I put my name on it, and that's what I'm doing. But it was the production that you did for Jeff Quintana with Speakeasy Theater Company that really, that was it. When you did that,
right.
One piece of content that you put out there, and I saw him speaking about it, I was like, wait a minute, who did this? Because this is a pretty good production. And the way that the audio and the little that I know, I was like, man, mm-hmm. This is pretty good. I knew that it wasn't some ham and egger in some closet with a one out the wire over the yeah. camera, you know. I was like, this is somebody that actually knows what they're doing. And when I went and I saw that tag, it was Sway Molina, and that's how we connected. And then the common motivation there was definitely the Gary V flavor and everything else. And but patience.
Well, my point with that, well, there you go. My point with patience. That with that was to also give the example of how, you know, Gary V back in the beginning with his Wine and Library show.
Yeah.
You know, video 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, unheard of. Who's this guy?
Yeah.
You know, talking on and Web 1.0 about wine through video. And it just kept going. What, the guy reached like 300, 400 videos? And little by little, man.
Timing. There's so many factors. Timing. Like, there's people right now that, no names to put out there because I'm not going to go there, but they suck. I don't care how many numbers they got, how many likes they got, they suck. And if I unfollowed you, that's exactly who I'm talking about today.
Right.
Because I'm here to tell you, man, they have a huge following, but they don't understand relationship.
Hold on, let me check if you
unfollowed me. They don't understand relationship, man. Right. They really don't. They're just, you can see their motivation. It's just about inflating their likes.
And it's sad, man. It's sad because we have people like you and me. I mean, look, it's not like I have a huge following, you know, I'm a guy that I'm just putting in the work and I'm trying to grow just like you. And like you, I'm reaching out to people too.
Yeah.
You know, I don't, cause neither you and I have this figured out. There are people who know more maybe this 1-2 guy that if we connect, we can reach that other level. But sometimes that guy doesn't respond and unfortunately, you know, when you DM somebody, you know, when they read it. And you see that red and no response.
Right.
And you're like, damn, man, come on.
Come on.
How hard
are you
is
serious?
It? You're like, I'm trying to be authentic. I'm right. trying to be real. I'm not spammy. You know, I'm trying to be me. And yet you don't respond back. And you know what? Like, again, like you said, timing, patience. Maybe now is not the time. Maybe you still got to put in some work. Maybe this guy's not a douchebag. Maybe you still need to, you know, work on this a little bit or maybe
he is a douche.
Or maybe he is a douchebag. You need to move on. Right? Exactly. You know, you got to, again, it goes back to you got to do you. You got to just keep on pushing, you know,
that's
keep on trotting.
I'll tell you what social media has really taught me is about me, bro.
That's about me.
The self-awareness, bro, and the truth is being exposed, bro. Because, I mean, really, when I look at all these different little things, I'm like, it's taught me so much about relationship and about me and authenticity and the truth and having compassion for others. And it's made me a better person at the end of the day.
I mean, if when you see social media and it's like a mirror, you know, and you see yourself right back.
Yeah.
I think it's a good thing.
Yeah.
It's a good thing because you have to realize that I think the sickening thing about social media is when you start comparing. You know, right. That girl doesn't look like me. That guy looks in shape. That guy sings better. That guy has better video. Whatever, you know, and you start doing that. It's like, you know what? Turn social media off for a good month and just get to work. You know, don't torment yourself and do this,
yeah.
you know, to yourself. And when you start going about it with that perspective, that when you do you, when you believe in yourself, you're starting to trust your gut and you believe in your own voice, you know, things tend to come out good in your favor, you know?
Yeah, man. I'll tell you, man, I'm excited. I'm excited to, in the near future, go to Miami and connect with you again. I remember that conversation. It was brief, but it was so special, bro. It was so special to me, bro. You have no idea. I wanted to thank you really for opening up your time because I knew that you were really busy. And you opened up your time and I was able to go by the studio before, you know, you started doing the home studio thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was really cool to see that. And It was so many things happened during those couple of days. And talking about Gary V, that's the reason I was going down there, was to try to get the attention of Gary V, because it was...
Oh, the agent?
It was Agent 2021.
Right.
At Hard Rock Stadium, which is my end goal, is to buy the Miami Dolphins. And speaking of that, you know, what's interesting is you never know what's going to happen, dude. A friend of mine put a posting on Facebook a couple of weeks back, and she's like, yeah, we're looking for security guards. Anybody wants to make some extra money? So, of course, I signed up, not knowing what I was signing up for. I just signed up for it. And the next thing you know, I'm a security guard at the Pro Bowl.
Okay? Oh, wow.
Not only not even at the Pro Bowl, not at Camping World Stadium, but at the hotel where everybody was staying. And not only I get planted over there and I'm getting paid for it, but I connected with Connie, and Connie's the first female scout of the NFL.
Wow.
Okay. And I was like, you gotta be kidding me. And she was not only the first female scout of the NFL, but she was also the scout for the New York Jets. And she's met Gary, and we started talking, and I'm here to tell you, man, she's an awesome person, and that's somebody who I'm going to be following through on, and I want to interview her, man. Like, I think her story is going to be amazing, just to be able to share as a female, the first scout of the NFL female. I mean, come on, that's crazy.
Right. But what's even more crazier, what you just did, you know, is a lot of people, they don't like to play the dirt game, you know?
Oh, I love it.
People don't humble themselves.
I love the dirt. I hope you enjoyed episode 12 of the Arena Audio Experience, featuring Sway Molina, an actor-producer living in Miami, Florida. You can connect with him on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. Also, check out his website, www.swaymolina.com. Until next time, peace.